Please keep your hands inside the ride and fasten your seatbelt. Welcome to the Solar Coaster.
What are we talking about today, guys? Pasties?
I tried to get that, but I don't think I timed it up.
Oh, you want to start it over? We can say it again.
Why they call it a pasty?
Are we recording?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the Cornish people brought it here in the mining days.
Uh-huh. And Cornish people are from where? Cornwall, England.
Cornwall.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Not Cornwallis.
Cornwallis, place for the Bulls.
So it's a pasty, but it's made with dough. So like a pastry, but yeah, it's not.
Yeah. It's like flaky and buttery.
But there's vegetables in there.
Dude, it's so savory. So they have lamb, they have chicken, they have beef.
Ooh, broccoli cheddar.
The broccoli cheddar. They have ham and cheese.
Oh, the ham and cheese was the one.
Oh, man.
So good.
I thought the veggie one, hands down, is the best.
It is the best.
Really?
So, it has the best flavor, yeah.
Oof.
Especially being a meat dude, you'd be like, it's all about it.
The chicken one, I think, is better than the beef. This is my own personal opinion. I love beef, but the chicken one, I think, is better.
It depends on how it's prepared.
If I had to go and order, it would be veggie, chicken. Ham and cheese was right there.
Ham and cheese, because you know what are those called? Hot pockets?
It was kind of like
hot pocket.
That's the word I was looking for. I couldn't. Oh. Yeah. When you said that, I was like, it's a hot pocket.
And they make them fresh every day. You know, you walk in and.
Yeah, they make them fresh every day.
You know, when the lady, you can identify body type with the lady who works there, you know it's good. You know what I'm saying?
You're like, hello, Miss Pasty.
You know, we could be friends. You look like you cook like I cook.
I look like a vegetable. Oh my gosh. Okay, so we are back. We are going to be chatting. A couple episodes ago, we were talking about how gnarly it is to read an energy bill, right? You guys do it all the time. You look at it. I'm sure everybody like calls you. How the hell do we read this thing? And what are some importance?
Well, first of all, what are the first things that we ask a client to do when they say, I have this true up or I have an energy bill and I'd like to get a quote? Like, what do we tell them we need?
Well, if they have a true up, we ask them to send us their whole bill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not just one page or
like
the odd page.
Every single page.
Yeah. They'll be like, here's the front page or here's like the true up page. And it's like, no, we actually need the entire. Is it a true up bill?
This is a true up.
We have a bill in front of us.
This is a true up bill and it's 8 pages long. Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever got that.
You have. You just don't look past the first page.
Seriously? But
the one that says
this
is how much you owe on the front.
I'm going to go back and look because I don't remember getting anything in the mail
Okay, so here's the thing.
Yeah, they don't really mail.
They sent out a piece of mail that looks like garbage mail.
Yeah.
What do you call that?
Years ago. I don't, junk?
Junk mail.
Junk mail.
Garbage works, yeah. I guess.
Yeah. Junk in the chunk mail. And nobody read it. Mm-hmm. And it said, if you don't check this box and put a stamp on an envelope and mail it back to us, you're going to go to an e-bill.
You're going to go pay.
And nobody gets it, so nobody sees
this. Nobody sees the bill anymore. So now you get an email that says your bill's ready, but you owe us this much, and nobody looks at their bill.
They just see
the call.
You just get the summary, and they just see the summary
how much they owe, and they just pay it.
But they don't know why they owe that, until they get a high number, and they get upset and call us.
Yeah.
And then what are the type of calls that you field?
I mean, most of the time it's with the true-up bills, and they want us, for us, like for the clients that we've like installed for, and they want to understand why they have their true-up. And then we do a deep dive into their usage on their bill, and if it's way more than what we originally had with the proposal, we figure out what they've done differently.
When they call in, do you ask them like, what are you using your house for? Are you running a rave in there? Are you growing?
And what's the most common answer?
One, there's two. Well, okay,
it's
there's two right
what?
Now. The electric vehicle?
No. The most common answer, in my opinion, is we haven't done anything different.
Oh, no. Anytime. Yeah. Oh, we're super conservative. We haven't done anything different. And then we had a phone call not too long ago. And they were, again, clients not understanding what's going on. And they're like, we come to find out they're running 2-3 space heaters.
Space heaters use more power than like
a fridge,
an electric vehicle.
Really?
It's ridiculous how much.
Because they got to heat the coil and push it.
It's
push the fan
so,
to push it out.
They use so much power, dude. Like ridiculous amount of, more than a washer and dryer combined. Yeah.
What about an AC unit?
It's probably up there with AC unit, dude.
Right.
It's a lot. And people think, oh, I have solar. I'm going to use this because it'll be cheaper just to heat my one room. Wrong. Run your HVAC system.
Really? Yep. Mm-hmm. Got it. Because it's made for that.
Yeah.
And so what do you do? Do you walk them through and go, all right, I see your usage. And it's at these times of the year. Tell me about your lifestyle. Do you go into that? What do you guys do?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of try and deep dive and figure out why their usage would be up.
Mm-hmm. So if people came to you when they called and they were honest.
They usually come though, helpful? And they think that their solar is not working. That's why.
Okay, so first things first, they think whatever's installed isn't working. Once we verify that it is working, we run usage from whatever monitoring system they have. Mm-hmm. And then we look at the usage that was on their PG&E bill.
And our monitoring system would be like?
Enphase or SolarEdge.
Gotcha.
We pulled yours up earlier and I was like, this is what it produced.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And this is what you said it would produce.
Gotcha.
So that's the first thing that like Taylor or anybody on our team will look at is like, let's look and see what we told you would produce and mm-hmm. let's see if it did that.
And,
if
and you're
it,
pretty on?
It's 98% of the time it's at that or more.
Got it.
Right. It's in line with the proposal.
Like the one I showed you was like 40 kilowatt hours more than we told you it would. You know, so it's, yeah. it's usually right there. If it is working fine.
Which most likely it is.
It's happened that it, there, that it
I mean, systems go oh, really? Down. Things happen. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
There's been times.
Yeah.
For sure.
And can the normal consumer that calls in that has this, they're like, why am I getting a true? What do you tell them? Do you tell them, like, do you have the Enphase app? Do you have the whatever app and go over and see if it's working?
Yeah, you could start there. There's multiple ways. I mean, a lot of the time, some of the systems that people buy, like they're expected to have a Truett bill.
Mm.
Yeah, that's what I was showing you.
We go back over their proposal. Yeah. You know, first it's like check the system, make sure it's working, make sure there's alerts, you know, to the client, to us. If they want to understand how to monitor their system better, we can do that. But a lot of the times, too, it's just go back to the proposal and be like, is our system doing what it said it is? Okay, yeah. Because that's the first thing the clients see when they're looking into getting solar anyway. So they forget.
I think that's the biggest frustration is like, I just spent $30,000 on the solar system and I still have a Truett WTF.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to be paying nothing and sticking it to the man.
Yeah.
And then like you look at it and go, okay, well, 10 years ago, we estimated you were going to have a $500 Truett bill, but it's been 370% increase since 10 years ago.
Right.
So what's 500 times 3.7? Oh, your bill is now $1,800.
All the things.
Yeah. Your $500 bill from 10 years ago is now $1,800. That's correct. Right. Because your system's still producing that same amount of power, but the power you're buying is way more expensive than it used to be. So people are like, oh, well, it just doesn't make sense. 10 years ago, my Truett bill was $250 and now it's $1,500. Well, yeah, that's when it's 370% increase.
That's the equivalent of like, you know, in 1990, I learned how to drive and gas was 80 cents.
Right.
Ooh, and here we are,
jeans were $20.
30 years later and it's $5.
How much are jeans now if you were to go buy a pair of designer jeans?
Together? 100 plus.
Like
three?
At least
two.
I mean,
we're pushing two.
Not if you live in Grass Valley.
Okay.
So
I forgot that you smoke. You smoke and buy your clothes the same. I get my hip pants and my weed at the same shop.
But yeah, over $100 for a good pair.
In Grass Valley, you know, some high end places, they'll be like, "Do you want a glass of champagne?" They're like, "You want a gummy?"
We got flour.
Grown in my backyard, true. Right here.
Oh my gosh, that's so true.
Oh, that's horrible. I grew up in Grass Valley, so I'm allowed to talk trash about it.
Yeah.
People are always like, why do you say, you can't just talk trash about the town I live in? I'm like, well, I live there longer than you technically.
Yeah.
So I'm allowed
And it's not talking trash. It's pointing out its idiosyncrasies in a very humorous, lovable way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why I would call it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's from the heart for sure. Yeah.
It's not self-deprecating to say I'm chubby.
Big boned.
Big boned. So when you go with, okay, so you're a lot of time, you're not pointing out fault. You're just like educating. Is there a system that you do? Like if someone gets this, let's say they heard the show and they're going down like, oh, I want to follow Taylor's 4-point process.
Ooh.
4 points? Okay.
Well, I'm asking, do you have one?
I think we could do like a YouTube video on that.
Yeah. Like what is your process?
And here's the first thing you should look at.
Yeah, we could do that.
Like if you would go in and look at this and go, oh, right away, I see issue here, here, here. You're getting charged here. Oh, and then we're, you know, obviously with rate increase, that's why.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure you can spot things. Normal person can't or don't or won't.
There's so many different variables.
I know.
It depends on whether you're NEM1, NEM2, NEM3.
Oh, then that's step one.
It's
it's what NEM you're on.
It's what your rate schedule is that you've selected. Right. Are you on a time of use rate schedule? Because like they also sent something in the mail that said, if you don't mail this back with a stamp, we're going to take you off of the non-time of use rate schedule and automatically put you on. I'm one of the few people who actually filled that out and sent it back. I'm not on.
They're all like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Who's this guy? Yeah. We're going to wait 6 weeks to process this.
Hey, Walt's in the mail room. Did you get that?
He's in the basement. Have you seen my stapler?
So can you tell that from a statement right there? NEM in your
so okay, I mean, step one is get the
I feel like
PG&E
I'm helping
bill
you
in its
come
entirety
up with the process.
Essentially, well, show me. Okay, so first things first, the rate schedule's up here.
Boom.
See
rate
where
schedule
it says NEM2.
Okay,
yep.
And then you go in there and it'll go to your rate schedule.
Uh-huh. And is it a time of use rate schedule or is it a non-time of use rate schedule? Can you tell by looking at it?
I'm
learning right now, no joke.
Yeah,
this one's a time of use rate schedule.
See, so it depends on.
So there's two
depends
things
on
you
when
look
you're
for
using the power too, because there's so right many factors. Again, PG&E okay makes it because they don't want the consumer to understand it.
Yep.
Even if you use the exact same amount of power as last year, and mm-hmm your solar produced the exact same amount of power last year, but you use the power from 4 to 9 instead of 3 to 6, your bill is going to be twice as much because of the time of day that you use.
So PG&E did 15-minute increments, right? Mm-hmm. So every
15 minutes of what?
15-minute increments for the billing. Yeah. So okay, the rate, if you were to actually look at their rates and how they, I don't know, put it on a spreadsheet.
How they bill you.
Yeah, how they
that
bill
would
you
be it.
There's the peak time, which is like typically 4 to 9 p.m.
Yeah, which is what, over 50 cents?
Yeah. So it's the most expensive. Yep. And if you buy it during the day, what was the lowest? 30 cents? So it's almost half if you buy it, if you use it in the morning. So people who are on a time of use rate schedule, like we'll talk to them and say, you run a pool pump, run it at night, run it during the day. Don't run it from 4 to 9.
You're spending
laundry
the most.
Right.
Well, it's cheaper to buy it from them, right?
When's the best time to do laundry?
The non-peak time. So either at night or before 4 to 9.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Anything you're going to use that uses power, don't do it from 4 to 9.
So when people get home from work, cook their dinner, do all the things.
It's the most expensive time. So that's like people get home from work and they plug their electric vehicle in. It's the worst time to charge a car.
That's if they're on time of use.
Correct.
Correct. Yeah, which is what you just flushed out.
Right.
Most people are on time of use.
Right. I have no idea what mine. Guess what I'm going to go do? I'm going to look at those two things.
If you didn't put a stamp on it and lick it and send it back.
You're on time of use.
Yeah, on time of use. You might be.
I'm on time of use.
Yeah.
How do you get off that? Can you get off that?
No. Because they're eliminating the non-time of use rate schedule. So they allowed you to stay in it for your NEM period. But if you didn't opt to stay in, they don't allow you to go back.
Yeah.
Shady. Mm-hmm. If they were skinny in a wrapper, they would be Slim Shady.
Just not as good.
Just not as good.
No.
And
no
evil.
No Grammys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What's next after you do that? Then you'll just go into, all right, tell us about your lifestyle. Because you would know that.
I always ask, like, what's new? Do you have a hot tub?
Changed.
Do you have a pool? Do you have an electric vehicle?
Which it is lifestyle. Would you add?
Listen,
right?
Like, oh, by the way, COVID, everybody was home.
Yeah.
Nobody left. Before, you said we were all gone all day. You and your husband both worked downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're allowed to work from home.
You just made me think.
How many days a week are you working from home now?
Yeah.
Oh, and you're running your HVAC.
Everything.
And you're running your computer.
Yeah.
And you're running your microwave for lunch.
So it makes sense to go to a coffee shop.
Right.
Use their power.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah. I mean, corporate America is saving a lot of money by having people stay at home as long as they're productive, right?
Ooh, I wonder if there was a bigger...
What's the balance?
Interesting.
Wrap your mind.
Well, that is so true. And I'm thinking everybody too, during COVID, let's just say, and then they have now, they bought a shit ton of toys, trailers, RVs, boats. Guess what has to be plugged in and charged?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For 2-3 days.
Yep.
That's a huge one. I'm like,
oh my gosh.
You go out there and you're like, oh, you have an RV. Yeah, but I don't.
It's only 2 days.
It's plugged in right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it doesn't draw power. I'm like, what's it doing?
Okay, let's unplug it. Then it won't draw power.
Then you have propane.
Yeah, we have a client that moved to the Granite Bay Area. New house. We said, okay, this is what we can put on to take care of your house. They were upset that they had like a true up that was like $3,000 and we just couldn't figure it out.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, you have a Tesla and you drive back and forth to Reno every day.
Oh gosh.
In your Tesla.
So
now if you if that was gas, if we use this multiplier here, yeah, like you would be spending about $14,000 a year. You're welcome that it's three.
Yeah.
That's
do you have any other questions for me?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like this is bullshit. I'm like, I know. I think you should split the savings with me. Is that what you're upset about? Because that's what I'm upset about. Oh, no. You're upset because you saved.
How'd they respond?
No, I didn't say that.
He probably said that.
They said, so do we have to pay this? I'm like, unless you have a rich uncle, because I ain't paying
that
it.
That is my favorite when people call and they're like.
And they say, do I have to pay this?
Yeah. And we're like, well.
Who do you think's going to pay
like,
it?
Yeah. Like yeah. Thinking we have to pay it.
Yeah. The best thing also, I don't know. I don't want to gripe on people, but they're in solar compared to any other construction, like literally the cost of the project, like 85 to 90% of the cost is equipment in solar. Mm-hmm. When you're building a house or a deck or something else, it's like 20%.
Yeah, it's flipped.
So people are like, we spent $20,000. And you're like, yeah. And there is a 3% profit margin on that $20,000.
Yeah.
So if you think we're going to pay your bill,
yeah.
that went to the gas tank.
3%.
Yeah.
You can get up on this roof and do it.
Yeah. Right. Like literally. Nobody here is driving a Bentley. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's. I know it sounds like people are like, we spent so much money. And like, yeah, I understand you bought the equipment and then you paid prevailing wage because Newsom just changed that as well. Any solar project that's commercial, you have to pay prevailing wages.
Yay.
Yep. So there goes the project cost too.
So that's got to go up. Is the cost of all that equipment too, with everything going on in the world, geopolitically, whatever, where they get stuff to make batteries, the panels, the equipment, everything, that's all going up, right?
I mean,
I would
since
think.
COVID.
Yeah, it went up during COVID.
COVID was the great profit margin. I'm going to start calling
dude,
it that.
It, dude.
Just with a snap of your fingers. Boop.
We were talking, this is a completely different subject. Okay, let me answer your question, but remind me to come back to this from a tax perspective.
Yeah.
I think through economies of scale, prices are coming down and they will continue to come down as we continue to buy more. Battery prices are going to go down. Technology is going to get better. So over the next 3 to 5 years, you'll see prices plummet because now with NEM3, you have to have a battery for solar for it to pencil unless you get a system that's going to knock out 40% of your bill. So
very rare.
More batteries are going to be sold. Technology is going to get better. Supply and demand, you know, so I think prices will continue to come down. If you look at what solar cost to install 15 years ago, it was 3-4 times the cost, but there was also cashback rebates back then. Mm-hmm. There was a bunch of other stuff to help it. So all those rebate and tax credit programs worked well.
Remember the cashback rebates we used to get from PG&E?
That's what I was talking about, yeah.
Okay, so when I started 300 years ago, I would see people get fat checks from PG&E.
Yeah.
And for selling the power back.
It was a rebate for the installation.
Mm-hmm.
They gave you cash back. It was funded by the state, but administered by the utility.
True. It went away after a few years.
It was on a tiered schedule.
Yeah.
And then it went away and they're like, how do we make profit?
And guess what? It was impossible to read what the actual rebate amount would be. It would show tiers. And then once that money was gone, like it would say for the first $2 million, you get 50 cents a kilowatt hour. And once that money's spent, then the next $2 million, you get 40 cents a kilowatt hour.
And that was on people's statements?
You would look at the PG&E website to see what tier it's in. Gotcha. But by the time you fill out the paperwork and send it in, they would update it like once a month.
Yeah.
So we would talk to our clients and say, oh yeah, look, right now, today, it's 40 cents a kilowatt hour. We fill out the paperwork that day, send it in.
Yeah.
And then PG&E would be like, oh, it was actually 30 cents by the time we processed your application behind all the other ones. So then they would call us pissed.
The same dude from 1 p.m. to 1:30 p.m. is processing.
Clients would call us and say, I was supposed to get 4,000 and I got 3,000 and it's your fault.
Yeah.
You remember that?
The shade's been happening for a long time.
Do you remember that? How pissed off people would be?
Yeah, because you calculate it into their proposal of like, here's your actual cost.
And then
it's like, yeah, you're right. It's not right.
And then we would start to back it off and they'd be like, well, this company can get me this much. And we're like, let's just tell them it's the next rate down. If they get more money, then it's better.
Yeah.
Well, I think I'm going to go with this company because they said they'd get me this rebate. I'm like, well, it's going to be the same amount regardless of who sends the paperwork.
They're still sending all the PG&E 100%. They're just moving the goalpost on you all the time.
Yeah. Can we go back to the great profit?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm going to start calling it. No, the great margin.
The great margin.
The great margin.
Side note that you were going to say
earlier?
Yes,
go. Okay, the great margin.
What, the REC credit? Is that what it was? The retention credits.
ERC.
ERC.
ERC, yeah.
There's all these calculations. Our CPA, we were talking to him the other day, and he's going, yeah, they put a hold to it unless you submit your application by this day, and it's going to be an automatic audit for everybody who goes through, and if you can't prove causality through all this stuff, you're going to owe that money back. So we're going through going, he's like, do you want me to pull your file? And I'm like, no, I don't want you to pull our file. We had causality. I can show you all the stuff. So we showed how – the projects that we started, we couldn't finish for 3 years because of the material was on back order because of COVID for two, 3 years. Some of them were like, we started the project 2 years ago and we're still waiting for it to come in.
Yeah.
And we have letters from all the manufacturers that say due to COVID, there's a 2 year, like if we order a piece of switchgear today, it's a, at least 52 months.
Months?
To get a piece of
52 weeks.
52 weeks.
Oh. 52 weeks minimum to get that piece of switchgear, right? It used to be 2 years. So we showed that like we retained our staff, even though we couldn't complete these projects, and our revenue was like damaged because of it.
Yeah.
And we have all the projects. We show what stuff was delayed. Like we have everything here, invoices, we can show the delay. And then he said, oh, well, they just released it that said, unless you can show that there is a mandate that they must shut down from the government, like a letter from the government that said, you must ABC company shut down, we're not going to accept that. It's like, how about a letter from the manufacturer that says, due to COVID, we have a delay? Like, that's not enough.
Yeah. And that was already required. So then they switched the gear. It's like a bad relationship that someone's always messing with your head and like,
narcissistic.
You'll never survive without me.
Cranberries. What's in your head?
Ah, oh, such a good song.
Gotta
zombie.
Say. We are trailing. All right. Well, there you go, everybody. First off, to check your statement, you're going to look and make sure. Are you NEM and what schedule you're on? Uh-huh. Start there.
Yeah.
And then point three, tell me what's new.
Well,
what's new in your life? What's new in your household? What you've been plugging in? And that, in addition to a rate, will tell you, at least it'll point you in the right direction to know why.
Right.
So it's not a four-point system. It's a three.
I think simultaneously, that's when we're also checking the system to make sure it's working like it's supposed to.
On page 6 of 8, it shows where you bought that power to. So like here on this bill, it shows that it bought power 29 kilowatt hours at peak time, 188 at off peak, and 55 at baseline. So you can see, okay, I paid 40 cents for this, I paid 43 cents for this, and then like down further, it shows you peak, off peak, all that stuff. So you can see like I'm buying most of my power during that time from 4 to 9. So maybe I can start paying attention to try not to use.
I was just going to say, this is for a household to know this. It'd be like, let's do our laundry here, let's do this. This can drastically change a household's finance.
Mm-hmm. Huge. Yeah.
Nobody knows about this.
Nobody knows. Mm-mm. PG&E doesn't want it. There's a reason why it's on page 6 of 8 and it's between like 5 million graphs and like lines that make sense.
Yeah.
That are completely useless.
They're smart enough to go, if we bury it, nobody's gonna know.
Nobody's gonna understand.
And they've nailed it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They've done a good job at that.
Yep.
Okay. Well, there you go. It's a three-step program or three-step process.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about it.
I'll still make a YouTube video if you want.
I think we should.
Yeah.
Like a music video.
Like you on a solar coaster while pointing out.
You can read the statement however you want. Bye, everybody. Oh, we just cut out. Oh,
I think it's your mind.
Oh, mine.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. It was yours.
No, it was.